Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Round 19 is in the bank for the NBL, and round 14 is in the bank for the WNBL. What some games it's been. It's been a fantastic week. Trades going on in the NBA. I know we don't talk trades in the NBA, but oh my God, what a week of basketball.
What is going on there?
Oh, how does that happen? I actually got told that during the game against Perth and Sydney, and I struggled to commentate there a little bit. I was like, not true.
That's ridiculous.
Not true. Yeah. No one would be that in their right mind. Body, before I come to you, can I just say, you write some fantastic articles, and for people that don't know, Body is a writer. I don't know if you know, right? Because he's been around for 3 or 4 years, and he has the best basketball on the internet. You can do it, Body. I like that. BOTINAGY.com. There is an article this week, and I read everything that you put up. Veil to Trailblazers, Longley and Hughes. You've written some great stuff, mate. That's pretty cool. And
you
know I'm a very old school and love the history and of the NBL. Whoa, kudos to you, man. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was going back 55 years to 1970 to sort of really cover the careers of those two extraordinary players. Rick these days is best known as Luke Longley's father, but he was a powerhouse in his own right, very much like Marie Benny, who's the mother of Lauren Jackson. She was a powerhouse in her own right in her period. And Alan Hughes was just the old version of a Shea Ely type player. He was just in your face and fantastic. And these guys were trailblazers. It's very difficult to write eulogies, Brad, as you understand. Trying to condense a person's life into a bunch of paragraphs is not an easy thing. So I'm always gratified when I do that and people actually have enjoyed it. So
mate, you're the best at it. But I will say there is a great photo of Rick with a whole lot of people in that. Damn, he looked like Phil Jackson when I first looked at it. Just that, like tall, long, the beard, the hair. And I was like, I just, you know, obviously the closeness with Luke and Phil and all that. I was just thinking, wow, it's giving me goosebumps now. That was a great article. I know we don't talk about your writing enough, but that was a fantastic article, mate.
Thank you.
Let's move on to the WNBL, shall we?
What a round
that was. Don't want to say here, but you picked Canberra and I picked Sydney. Canberra should have won it, but Sydney did. Let's talk about that game.
Had it just been regulation, maybe Canberra, they ran, look, it's 80-all and they ran the best play I've seen for a
didn't
while.
Didn't they? What, that is.
And
oh, man,
Nadia Poch, backdoor, Nadia Poch turned into Nadia Botch because she blew an absolutely easy shot that would have won in the game. Goes to overtime. They get done. Shanice Swain was absolutely fantastic in that game. Jade Melbourne had her moments too, 28 points, 10 rebounds. But Shanice was a standout for me. Where does she come from, Brad? What's her backstory? She seems to have just burst onto the scene.
Unbelievable is the name of is the game, I should say. And it feels weird because it hasn't happened every game, but it's evolving, and that's where, you know, I mean, can you say
she, a couple of weeks
ago. I know, well, she was my player of the round, and I'm not going to shine out. She's my player around again this week. I look at her and I think, you know, with what they're trying to build at the Flames and what they lost and what they're bringing in, and I'm just thinking, it's so wrong to say she's come out of nowhere. That's disrespectful, but it's sort of like, where's this coming from? Like, you don't just go from being, you know, okay to 40s and 30s. And
we're looking at an Opal.
Agreed. Well, let's talk about some other games. Obviously, we're coming down the stretch now, as we know. The ladder, oh, man, was there some interest here? Isn't the ladder unbelievable? So you still got the Spirit out in front, top spot. That's theirs, 18-2. Lynx, 14-5 with the Fire, 13-5, obviously one game behind. But it's really fourth spot that we're talking about now. The Flames, you'd have to think that would get them above the Caps. But you and I were talking here before. You think Adelaide, that slight chance?
Look, Adelaide is 6-12, and that upset win over Perth, which was an 18-point smacking. Now they've got that Townsville, that's going to be a hard one. Then they got Southside, who are below them, and then they got Geelong, who are below them. So you would think they could win two, which would take them to 8 and 12. Canberra, if it beats Sydney this week, they go to 8 and 12. Sydney then goes to 7 and 12. But then Sydney still comes home with Townsville and then Southside. So you expect them maybe to get to 8 wins. And now you're going to have a few teams. It's a little bit of a bottleneck potentially.
Yeah,
I think that fourth spot, which I thought Canberra had wrapped up and would have had they
if they won that game. Yeah. I mean, to me, doesn't matter who gets fourth, they're not beating Bendigo.
No,
right. But what I do love is the Lynx Fire series, because now that's the fight for home court.
And they meet in the last game of the last round of the regular season.
You'd have to think, bar something astronomical, and just so everyone knows, there's only 2 rounds to go, right?
Yep.
So that game could and should literally be who gets home court advantage. So there's a chance there that they play 4 games against each other.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, it's an amazing finish that you couldn't script in advance, because it's just
unbelievable.
How does that happen?
Yeah. I know, it's great. Well, I did say Shanice Swain, great. She's my player of the round. Who was yours?
Sammy Whitcomb at Bendigo. She had 20 points, 8 assists and 5 rebounds in the win over Geelong. Mm-hmm. And then she backed that up with 33 points in the fairly comfortable win also over Southside. So to me, she's winning the MVP, and I don't even see a serious challenger, to be honest.
No, it's daylight. I'm going to throw something at you that I haven't given you or even prepared. Do you think this is a really, really underdone and very poor season from the Flyers?
From the Flyers?
Yes. They're 4-15 at the moment. Obviously, they're going to take last spot. That's yep. going to happen. Is that an underachieving season?
I would say it is slightly less than what they would have anticipated. I think they would have liked to return to the finals or to be in this same conversation that we just had about Canberra, Sydney and Adelaide, and they're not. I mean, they have had a long-term injury with Carly Ernst. They have had Beck Cole in and out, and they've really been reliant on just their main five or six players, a bit like Adelaide.
Yeah,
very much like Adelaide. Mm. And you just need a couple of injuries here and there, and you've got a rookie coach in Christy Harrow who's really been thrown in at the deep end, given that she wasn't given the level of talent that her predecessor had. I mean, you know, there's no Mercedes Russell, there's no Lauren Jackson in this group. You know, so
I think that's where I don't want to say I'm struggling with. You know, I've always had a soft spot for the Flyers, right? I've always loved them.
New South Wales colours.
I didn't expect them to win it. Like, I never, when we sat down here at the beginning, I think we did say, you know, to me it was Townsville and Bendigo, really, and then let's see how Perth go and all of that, right? But I just expected them to have a bit of a better season, and look, you know, obviously I hope they do next year, but it was just something that, you know, I wanted to get your thoughts on.
Yeah, they'd be disappointed with themselves, but the circumstances have not been kind.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, fair call. Fair call. All right, well, that's the WNBL. Let me just, before we do that, I just want to get your tips for next round. So Adelaide taking on Townsville in Adelaide.
If Adelaide's going to make the playoffs, now beating Perth last week at home by 18, that was a pretty significant win. I'm prepared to take a punt on them. Smart money would be on Townsville, but I'll be prepared to take a punt on Adelaide.
No, I'm going Townsville. Perth v Geelong.
You have no courage. Perth v Geelong. Perth at home, of course. They'll have to bounce back from that.
Now, this one, I think Adelaide will get. Southside versus Adelaide.
Yes, they have to get.
And then Caps at home versus Flames.
Canberra simply has to get that to keep it alive, but I don't think it – I think it's over, actually, myself. But, you know, if you can't win from that great position they were in last week where they ran one of the best plays either of us have seen. I mean, you texted me. This is odd for me to get a text from you watching a women's game. And I was like, wow, Brad's watching this too. This is fantastic, because it was great.
See, don't question my effort. I love the WNBL, mate.
Yeah, I know. You like wearing a bodysuit. I don't know what that's about, but there you go. That ended years
ago. Did you see that photo?
Yeah, Matt Shervington was embarrassed. Anyway, it was such a good play. I'm I don't know. I'm prepared to have another punt on Canberra getting this one out of the three off Sydney. But ultimately, it won't matter because if they're tied at the end, Sydney's won the season series. They've already won two out of the three, regardless of this result. So they've got to beat them and then win another game more than what Sydney does to get up it.
Sydney, after that, just so we know, if we go to the last round, Sydney have got Townsville and Southside, but both at home. Caps play Bendigo, right? Yeah. So, and Townsville, as you said, play Perth. So we'll talk about, obviously, that round next week, but some exciting times coming up in the NBL. Yeah. And thank you, Botond.
No worries.
Well, let's go to the last thing. Some news today, or sorry, I should say this week, that Lauren Jackson is joining the WNBL, I should say, as a newly appointed part-time special advisor. Kudos, love it. You need people like that in the game. Well done.
Absolutely. She is the face of the game. She, like, in the way, same way we identify Andrew Gaze with the men's game, we identify Lauren with the women's, and any capacity she's in, where she's at the forefront of it, I think is a great thing.
I hope she gets into commentary.
Brad Rosen, ready? I love her.
Well, I actually do love her, so bugger off, Botond. Moving on to the men's. Oh, God, where do we start? What a round. You know what? Let's go your six first.
My six is still Illawarra, Melbourne, and I know a lot of people are saying Illawarra, Melbourne, South East Melbourne and Perth are the only four that can really win it now because Sydney and Adelaide are just too erratic.
Yep.
I actually don't think South East Melbourne can win it. I've gone off them in a close game. Look, I saw them beating Sydney and losing. I saw them beating Perth and losing. I saw them beating the hell out of Adelaide and almost losing.
Okay.
I can't see them winning it.
Let me throw this one last thing. Derek Walton comes back in and he's playing well. Does that change your mind?
It does if he's got enough time to settle back in. Like if you're coming in cold, then you've got to make the adjustments again. Because what you're seeing from Owen Foxwell, from Angus Glover, and from Ben Eyre is fantastic. Fantastic seizing the moment basketball.
Totally.
But I think if it comes to Nathan Sobey, at the end of the game in a close game, he's going to make a big shot and he's also going to make a dumb decision, bad decision.
So you said Illawarra, Melbourne. Are you leaving South East in third spot then, based on what you're saying? Because that's what you had them in.
Yeah, I put Perth there now on the basis of their last
round. Perth and Sydney swap?
Perth at three, South East Melbourne at four, and then Sydney five, Adelaide six. I still think somehow Adelaide holds on, but God, in the same way that Perth was terrific in this round and horrific the round before, Adelaide was horrific this round and terrific the round before. So
I'll just go through the games quickly and say winners and losers, and then we'll come back. So it started with Tasmania losing Illawarra. That was a cricket score. Adelaide lost to Brisbane. Wow. We'll come back to that. Perth beating South East Melbourne. I was there. They won by one, but it was more than that. They hit
three on the
New Zealand beating Cairns. Didn't predict it. Well done to New Zealand. I thought Cairns would get that. Melbourne beating the Jack Jumpers a lot closer than I thought it would be. Sydney Kings never in the game against Perth. They were lucky to be within seven. And Phoenix beating Adelaide. Should have won by 20. Give kudos to Adelaide for the fourth quarter. We normally go through your top six. Just talk to me what you felt after the weekend. And I think you're going to say Adelaide, Sydney. I think you were heading there.
Yeah, I just think that Adelaide, Sydney, and then because of what, as I said, what Perth did this round compared to what they did the previous round, you can't really trust them. You can't really, when they walk on the floor, what are you going to get? Are you going to get the Sydney Kings team that we thought was going to win the championship, or are you going to get the Sydney Kings team that's lucky to hold on to a spot in the sixth, lucky that they've got a couple in the bank? What are you going to get from Adelaide? Are you going to get Montrezl Harrell throwing down dunks, or are you going to have him engaging spectators and getting distracted? And, what are you going to get from these guys? You don't know. I'm a bit that way with Perth too. I think at times Perth just goes off the rails as well, which is why I'm really comfortable with Illawarra and Melbourne. Yeah, I know they've had a couple of hiccups around the way, but everybody does. I mean, Melbourne was lucky to get to not get caught by Tasmania. But then when you consider that for Tasmania, Tarangi, Kristalevich and Steindl, three starters combined for 17 points on 6 of 18 shooting, who's going to win it for you? If these guys aren't stepping up, who's going to win it for you? So they did an extraordinary job, and hats off, kudos to Scott Roth for what he gets out of those guys. But Melbourne takes care of business.
Yeah, they do. All right. Well, so we've spoken about Illawarra. They'll be playing on Wednesday night against New Zealand. If they win that, that will sew their top spot up. Now, for the people that are listening, yes, Melbourne can still tie, but the percentages is just ridiculously too high. And I found out recently that I think 1%, if you look at the percentages on the ladder, when they talk about those percentages at the end, 1% is about 30 points. That's what I've been told. Mm. Now, they're about 5 points in front, 6 points, whatever it is. So it's no one's going to pick them up, right?
So basically, over the last few games, they'd have to pick up 150 points or something.
Which you're not going to happen because there's only one or two games left, right? Yeah. So Illawarra should win on Wednesday night, which will be their first ever, if I'm not mistaken, buddy, you are the guru at this, their first ever minor championship.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep. I think that well even done. The year they won it in 2001, I don't think they finished top of the ladder.
No, they didn't. No, I know that because it's been spoken about. So we think that should happen. Melbourne, they're winning, but they're really not playing great yet, are they?
No, but those veterans, they know how to win, Brent. That's the key to it. They know how. I mean, I'm looking at Tasmania. They're doing a great job to push Melbourne to the wire. But at no stage did I think United wouldn't win that.
Yep. I agree with you. Perth. Wow. We did not predict this. They come back after losing to Cairns, a double loss last week. They came out, played three okay quarters against South East, one amazing quarter in the fourth, and then came to Sydney and dominated. They were really good.
That was good. I thought that performance against Sydney was as good as I've seen them play as a group because Sydney was never in the game, even though the final margin doesn't necessarily reflect that. I just couldn't follow. Once again, I couldn't follow what Brian Goorjian was doing with his substitution pattern or whether that's Bill Tomlinson. I don't know. But I did think he started the best five for the first time in a while, which was and this is partly because of injuries and whatever, but Jalen Adams, Bull Quall, Alex Tui, Xavier Cooks and Cam Oliver.
Yeah, I agree. That's his best five.
That is the best.
I don't know if you listened to the coverage, but I actually said I thought that was Perth's best five as well. I actually like when they have Cotton, Ben Henschel, Keanu Pinder, Doolittle and Windler. They, to me, is their best five. Some would say, do you put Ty Webster in there for Ben Henschel so that Bryce can go to the two? No, I'm with you. But that would be the only one you would ticker. Then you get Ty Webster coming in. Al Munsey does a great job. And obviously, Mr. 500, a huge congratulations. Obviously, goes to Jesse Wagstaff for getting that 500. So
stop,
he would
stop be. There, stop there for a second. Now, do you reckon he's taken two charges per game?
No, I reckon he's had about 1,000 charges in his career.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, that's where I was going, obviously. Because I reckon he's got 1,000 charges. Take 1,000. Now, that is an amazing statistic.
It is good, actually.
It is an amazing statistic. And you've seen enough of him to know that there have been games where he's taken one and games where he's taken four. So two is a reasonable thing to think, and that would be 1,000. Man's going to be in a wheelchair at 55 because his back's going to be so bad.
Tell you what, and you know, I was there at Perth, and you see these singlets hung up, and it's a great gym, RAC Arena. It is a great atmosphere.
Kylie Minogue's going to like it, yeah.
Oh yeah. So let's mention that. So the owner, Mark Arena, has come out and said that if they make the playing game, which they're going to get a home game whenever that may be, they might not be able to play it at RAC Arena because Kylie Minogue's going to be having a concert there. So that would be absolutely astounding if that was to happen.
Is it Margarina or is it Macarena?
Moving on. So we've spoken about that. Sydney, we've spoken about Southeast, Perth, Adelaide. We're fine. Okay. I'm going to throw some things at you. And this, please, listeners, he doesn't even know I'm doing this. Now, you've got the first word you've got to come into me. I just want you to throw things out as soon as it comes in. MVP.
Ross Cotton.
Most improved.
Bookwall. Not Bookwall. Sorry. Oh, this is how embarrassing. Quite annoyed. I'm quite annoyed that I didn't get it.
So that's most improved?
Yeah.
Best six man.
Same.
Quatnoy.
Yep.
Best defensive.
Shaley.
Oh, okay. All right. Right. Next one. So you're
disputing that?
Swaka.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, he's good.
Yep. That's my only difference there.
Just you have the same with best six and most improved with
yes, both absolutely. Of them going quite long? Yep. Do you have an all-NBL first team? Oh, sorry, before I ask that, would you put a would you put a Casey Prather or anyone for that matter in the all-NBL first team if they didn't make the playoffs?
Yeah, sure.
You would? I don't agree. I think if you haven't made the playoffs, you shouldn't be first team, but second team, I have no problems. But
you can be an outstanding, fantastic player, and you just got recruited to the wrong club. And would you have left Michael Jordan out of the All-Star 5 when he played this season for Washington and still averaged great numbers? Washington was crap.
Yeah, it's Michael Jordan. Okay, you win. Okay. Do you have an All-Star 5?
Off the top of my head, I would have Matt Hurt, I would have Bryce Cotton, I'd have Kendrick Davis, I'd have Casey Prather. That's four. So I'm probably needing a center, Sam Frohlins.
Mm.
There you go. That's just off the top of my head. I haven't really given that any deep thought.
Did you have Kendrick Davis in there?
Yes.
Sorry, you said that. Sorry. So I had Kendrick, I have Bryce, I have Matt Hurt.
That's three for three.
So we're very similar on that way, and I'm still trying to work out my next two. I have Trey Kell.
You don't like Casey Prather because they're not
I have I have Trey Kell. Right. So I think
I'm a positional guy, so I'd have Trey Kell now in my second team at the point.
Right. No, I'm the other way. I'm just like, you know, Now the next question comes in.
Look who comes 1-5 in the MVP. That's bullshit to me that we go.
Okay, fair enough. But now the next one comes in and says, righto, who do you have as your fifth? And I think it would be Sam Frohlin. Do you have two Illawarra players in there? Why not? They're minor premiers. Who's your coach of the year?
Justin Tatum.
Yep, me too. Where does PJC end up next year?
He'll be back in New Zealand, I would think, wouldn't he? The exchange rate's pretty good in New Zealand.
Did you hear 40 when they said you won the summer shootout? And he says 50K. He said, I'm in New Zealand. That's worth 56 here. Can you pay me?
I didn't hear that, but it's good.
Where does Kendrick Davis end up?
Well, either in Adelaide and Mike Wells is gone.
Okay, that was my next question, yep.
Or in Perth. Because Bryce Cotton is gone.
And my next question after that one, where does Bryce Cotton end up?
He plays with Trevor Gleeson in Japan.
Yeah, I'm with you.
For a couple of years, and then he comes back to Perth.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is completely off the cuff. Nothing was planned there. Bottomed, you are one in a million, my friend. Can you please give me your best moment?
My best moment originally, it changed. It was Nathan Sobey at the end of the third quarter for Southeast Melbourne against Perth. That was when he left his man to double team Bryce so that Bryce couldn't get the last shot off in the third quarter. Bryce passed it. They bungled it. Then they went down and Nathan hits a three on the just before the siren. I thought, well, that was as good a sequence of basketball IQ as I've seen from Nathan Sobey. Love that version of the character. Unfortunately, there's another version, and this is my play of the round, was Bryce Cotton hits a three there in the last quarter. Nathan gets the ball, goes the length of the floor, drives in, does a crazy shot, gets the bejesus swatted out of it. They go back down, and Bryce hits another three, and that's the ball game. And I think Bryce Cotton, back-to-back threes, just clinches the game, and the guy's an out-and-out champion. And that's
Southeast bombed that game. They didn't learn from what had happened previously. Matt Hurt was not touching the ball, and they went hero ball at the end.
Yep.
I will give them credit, though. They didn't do that against Adelaide in the next game, and they got a win. But also Adelaide, you could argue with that. Okay, my best moment?
Please.
Southeast Melbourne game versus Adelaide.
Yep.
Ball's on the floor, and who gets it? Owen Damn Foxwell.
Yeah.
That guy just flies in and dives on the ball, throws it up, and they get a layup from memory on it. It was just outstanding. And I'm going to add one more on Owen Foxwell. How the hell did he get that offensive rebound at the end of the game?
He timed it so perfectly.
He
knew Sobey was going to shoot because you always know he's going to jack it up. And he just went in there and he grabbed a fantastic
rebound. He wanted it more.
Rebound a bunch of bigger guys. I love Foxwell. Love what he's bringing. But I will say this. In the same situation, Angus Glover would have dived on that ball.
Yes, true.
Ben Ayre would have dived on that ball.
Yeah, true.
Matt Kenyon, you can just keep going.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got to like about what Josh King's done.
Brilliant.
But I still can't see him winning it because because they can, in a close finish, they go off the, they go away from what's got them into the winning position.
They do. I completely agree.
Give
I'm going to go
Rose
into that. I would. Well, hang on. I want a player of the round. I'll go that before I go Rose and Rattler, because I, you know, one could argue Owen Foxwell. I thought he played really well, but I can't go against Bryce. He played five magnificent quarters, and the other three, the first three against Southeast, wasn't awful. But those, that last quarter and the four in Sydney, oh man, yeah, definitely player of
what
the round for me.
What I'm saying is, he played three quarters like a human being.
Yeah,
and five quarters like this champion.
You're on fire today, mate. You're going well. Who's your player of the round?
It is Owen Foxwell because of those plays, and he hit some big threes as well. Don't forget that.
Yes.
And he made some slick passes. I think Geordie Hunter, you know, going player of the day, Geordie Hunter did a pass on a back cut that was as good as you'll see from a big man. But
I love Geordie Hunter.
He's salivating, folks. He's salivating. But like this. Again, though, I thought for half the game Adelaide was totally disengaged and took Jason Kadee, the surrogate coach of that team, to make some big shots and bring them back into it and make some big plays.
Well, this is a good segue because I'm going to go first on my Rose and Rattler.
Please.
Adelaide and Sydney. What the hell? Mm. You've got a game. Adelaide had two. Sydney had one. I'll start with Sydney. You're sitting at home. You got a chance to go into third. You're playing against a team that played 48 hours earlier. It's their first full team since November, right? And in the first quarter, you're giving up offensive rebounds. You're getting cut across your face for layups. You allow guys to get to the hoop. Your point guard fouls twice. He's sitting on the bench. You did not want to be in that game.
No.
That can't happen. You had a chance to get third spot home final with a chance to get a backup. Now, they can still get third, but you've got to go to Illawarra and get that win. Man, you weren't ready. Adelaide? How the hell does that happen? How can you be that good in a third quarter, but that bad in the second, a first and second? Like I was on the NBL Now pod this week, and I said to him, I know I love. I appreciate what Kendrick Davis has done this year and how he comes out and says, we're not scared of anyone. You shouldn't be scared of anyone. You should be scared of yourselves.
Selves.
Because you're the only one that can damn beat yourselves. And I'm frustrated because you're so both talented teams, but you keep burping it up from your silly crap that you play. Moving on, Boddy, what's yours?
Just quickly, though, I just want to say on Jalen Adams, I thought he was totally disengaged the whole game, making dumb fouls, just wanted out of there. He just wanted out of there.
0.1 free throw.
He was pathetic.
Oh, also, I want to add to that, 30 free throws the Kings made. Do you know how many field goals they made?
Go on.
30.
Okay.
That doesn't happen. How do you make the same amount of free throws as you make as field goals?
I don't know, Brad. You need to explain it to me because you're a Sydney man. If you cut one arm, you bleed gold. If you cut the other, you bleed purple. So please
don't cut anything in between.
You're red-blooded in between. Is that what you're saying? Okay. My nasty is simply Sam Froehling. You know, suddenly we're talking about he's a free agent, et cetera, and that Sydney, I mean, wow, wouldn't that be
– he's already signed. No, I'm joking. He's not.
Go on. You did it before when we were off air. You ran through Illawarra players that have ended up – go and do it again.
Right. So Boddy and I did speak about this off air, and I think this is just, manager 101. What is the number one club that Illawarra would not want to lose a player to? Sydney. Think – let's go back, right? Tim Morrissey. We're going back to him. Alan Black, Justin Withers, Melvin Thomas, Greg Hubbard, Glenn Saville, right? You look at all these – I probably missed some as well. You look at all of these players and I'm thinking to myself, mate, if you're saying he's going to Sydney, you'll find the money. You cannot let that guy come to Sydney, right? That was so smart manager.
Yeah, but I would also wouldn't rule out Melbourne because if you're looking at Melbourne, we've discussed it off air that they're getting a little bit older, and Rob Lowe has already retired twice, if not three times.
Yeah,
I think
good
this
point.
I think this time around he will retire, so they'll be in need of a starting.
But to say that as well, Boddy, Sydney could throw the money at him. That has been a problem this year. He and Cookie would work well.
Well, as your friend Matt Russell would say, what about Kelly Lebebe?
Oh, I love your work. Right. So that was your nasty.
Yep.
Good work.
All right.
Quick wrap. New Zealand play Illawarra. Illawarra?
Illawarra.
Cairns at home versus Brisbane.
Ooh. But no Rob Edwards. which I thought was a very smart nice. Move by Adam yep. Ford in terms of, all right, we're going to finish bottom. We can't do anything else. You can go. That bonds players to coaches.
I next concur.
I'm going to go for Brisbane because of what's at stake.
I'm with you. Illawarra at home versus Sydney. I can't go against Illawarra. Yeah. Yep. Perth at home versus Adelaide.
Perth.
I'm going Adelaide. That's the team.
Yeah, which one shows up?
Yep. Tasmania against Cairns. Oh, I think Tassie get that last home game.
Yeah. Is it at home? Is it in Hobart?
Yeah, in Tassie. My State Bank Arena. Yeah. Right, okay. And now, toss a coin, Melbourne versus Southeast. There is a good chance that this could go from being someone getting second to fifth, right? It's that close of everything. I don't think Melbourne picking up fun fifth, but I think Southeast can, and Melbourne will set too much going on. Who you got? I think I'm going to go Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm afraid I am too. I think this should be close, and if it's close, then I don't really trust.
If ever fans. I'm majorly in doubt, I go with the home team. But none of it would surprise me.
Yeah, you know what? There's been seasons, though, I don't think that's been borne out by fact. That's more a gut feeling that we're close, we'll go with the home crowd, yeah, getting the boys up, all that sort of stuff. But I don't think it really, as Adelaide have said, we're not afraid of anybody except the mirror.
On that note, thank you, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed it. I've had a fun day today. And what about Boddy? He's been on goddamn fire. See you next time.
So what's your take, Brad, on the Perth Wildcats playing at RAC Arena during the finals?
Oh, no doubt. Kylie has created a locomotion.